The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:09 now, December 26th, foggy Thursday morning, day after Christmas. Thank goodness Christmas is over and go back to hating each other, huh? Jeez, enough of that peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's America, baby, survival of the fittest. I'm just kidding. Keep that Christmas spirit throughout the whole year and help each other and be good to each other. You know, Mike Strain told us about giving his wife a zero-turn radius lawnmower, and Hootat Cat from APS called, texted me and said that her husband, Spencer, they've been married a long time, happily married, gave her a zero-turn radius lawnmower a few years ago for Christmas, and she loves it. So there you go. Maybe I should have been talking to Hootat Cat about marriage, and I wouldn't be buying my house for a second time. But it happens. We're going to talk about vaccines and what the State Department of Health is saying and what the flu situation is in the city and the state and more when we return. And I would ask you to keep an open mind. Meanwhile, let's rock out with Van Halen here on WWL. All right, 7:14, dense fog advisory in effect until 10 o'clock. I can now see the Crescent City connection, so the fog seems to be lifting somewhat. I don't know if it's descending. I hope not. Be careful. Have the lights on and no flashers unless you're stopped. That's what the law says. Otherwise, weather-wise, we're looking at a kind of spring-like day today. Highs in the 70-degree range or so, 76 tomorrow with a 60% chance for rain. More rain on Saturday, 70% chance then, highs of 74. 71 for a high Sunday, 74 Monday through this holiday week. New Year's Eve, highs of 74, 50% chance for showers. Then it cools off, clears out for the first of the year. New Year's Day, highs of 59 and plenty of sunshine. That way really through Friday. Dr. Susan Hessig joins us now, a friend, associate professor in the Tulane School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. Morning, Dr. Hessig. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tommy. I hope you had a good Christmas.
I did. Did you?
I did, yes.
Did you get anything nice?
Family and grandkids. Pardon me?
Did you get anything nice?
Santa was very good to me.
Yeah, I got coal. But it's better than
next year.
Yeah, it's better than getting a cold, isn't it?
Absolutely, or the flu.
See how I tied that in? That's pretty clever, huh?
Very clever.
Well, let's not get crazy. I did get an alert from Nola Reddy, I think it was, and I'm trying to find it,
yes,
telling me about flu vaccines and flu in the city, I think it was. Tell me about that, Dr. Hessig.
Yeah, well, Nola Reddy is the mechanism for the city to communicate all sorts of important messages to the public about, you know, precautionary boil water orders, all sorts of things. And I was quite pleased to see that come across my phone as well. I think it was a response to the information that's been coming out about the apparent policy of the head of Department of Health and Hospitals regarding flu vaccines and COVID vaccines and the apparent intent of them to de-emphasize communicating about them the Dr. Jenna Vegno, the head director of New Orleans Public Health, put out a notice a couple of days ago, a few days ago now, in response to the first story that came out on this, and made a very strong statement about how New Orleans would do everything they could to ensure that their citizens had access to appropriate and necessary vaccines. And I think this was just a little reminder about that. Flu is very high right now in Louisiana. And it was a timely announcement, given we were heading right into the holiday season.
I think this illustrates, and Doctor, I don't mean to bring you into this political morass at all, but I think it illustrates the difference between campaigning and governing. When you campaign, you can tell people what they want to hear. When you govern, you have to do what is in the best interest of everyone. And I think anybody that knows politics will tell you there's a big difference when it comes to campaigning and governing. When it comes to science, it doesn't matter whether it's a campaign or a holding office. The science is what the science is. And I'm reading from a story here from WWNO. Rosemary Westwood says a group of high-level managers of the Louisiana Department of Health walked into a November 14th meeting in Baton Rouge expecting to talk about outreach and community events. Instead, they were told by an assistant secretary in the department and another official that department leadership had a new policy: advertising or otherwise promoting the COVID, influenza, or Mpox vaccines, and established practice there and at most other public health entities in the U.S. must stop. So it's one thing maybe to not be such an advocate, but it's another one to outright stop talking about vaccines. And actions have consequences, Doctor. And what kind of consequences do you fear as a result of this? I don't know how you can view it as anything other than a political decision by the Louisiana Department of Health to appeal to the hard right and the anti-vaxxers. Thoughts?
Well, I think it's, from a public health perspective, yeah, it's very misguided. Vaccines have, since their arrival, been one of the most effective ways we have of preventing and reducing disease burden and even death in a population. And to target a disease that flu, which is something that comes around every year, really is circulating all the time, but peaks in the winter season for us, is really short-sighted. It's a disease that has the most severe impact on the very young and the not so young in our population. And so it's really important that we have high levels of vaccination in those groups, but really in the entire population, to keep that burden as low as it possibly can be. And I'm just really disappointed that they appear to be taking this steps based upon what is non-scientific misinformation.
I'll say it. It's a political step to appeal to the national hard right is what it is, and the anti-vaxxer movement and President Trump and his appointment of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is an anti-vaxxer. Let's just face it. You don't want to say it. I understand that. I'll say it for you.
Well,
okay?
the appointed head of hospital.
Louisiana Surgeon General, Ralph Abraham,
is also a anti-vaxxer.
Right.
Certainly anti-COVID vaxxer.
Well, we spent an hour, and I would advise people or suggest that if they have an open mind, they go back and download the Odyssey app or go to WWL.com and click on my name, because we did an interview with a reporter, a New York Times reporter, who wrote a book about RFK Jr. and the measles vaccine in Samoa and young toddlers that died needlessly because of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s foolishness with the measles vaccine, and going on to say that when the measles outbreak did occur, that it was actually caused by the vaccine, which is this through the looking hole, or however, whatever the Alice in Wonderland kind of logic is.
The looking glass, yeah.
Through the looking glass, it makes absolutely no sense at all, and young toddlers died as a result. And it can be dangerous, and I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to be scientific about this. We'll talk more when we come back with Dr. Susan Hassig. I don't want to take her where she doesn't have to go, but I'll be free to speak my mind when we return. 722 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 727 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dr. Susan Hassig, Associate Professor in the Tulane School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. Somebody texted in and said, Tommy, you're showing your ignorance. RFK Jr. is not an anti-vaxxer. He simply wants vaccine transparency, and you well know the credibility level of New York Times reporters. They write smears and propaganda, not journalism. The reporter's name is Brian Deer. He worked with the London Times. He's an investigative journalist and author of The Doctor Who Fueled the World, about this fraud that wrote the fraudulent story, faked the research about the measles vaccine. What's the English... The Lancet rejected it completely, and he's been discredited. He moved to Austin, set up a cottage industry. Dr. Hassig, tell me a little bit about your education, if you would, please.
Certainly. I have a undergrad degree in sciences, biology, chemistry. I went and got my master's in public health. I then went on and got my doctorate in epidemiology, the latter two focusing primarily on infectious diseases in my optional coursework. Since then, I worked for international and state, local, and even federal agencies until I joined the faculty of the School of Public Health more than 20 years ago.
So where the hell do you get off thinking you know about vaccines and infectious diseases?
I know. You know, it's just silly. I Googled it, and then I knew everything I could possibly
That's
know.
That's the point I'm making, Dr. Hassig. Tell people, I know we're running out of time here, but, you know.
That's okay, Thomas.
Have consequences. Politics and science make for strange bedfellows. It never works out. Just a final word about why people should get, and look, you know, do what you want. You people do what you want. It's your life. But tell people about the flu vaccine and how important it is that they get it, please.
The flu vaccine is a well-designed, well-researched, safe, and very effective product that will keep your kids and your beloved elder family members healthier in this winter season. It's painless. It really doesn't hurt. And the flu virus keeps changing every year. It's one of those that keeps changing. So that's why you need a new vaccine shot every year. It's really, really important. It's a little thing to ask to help protect your family, friends, and loved ones, and your whole community. Do it.
And you call yourself tropical disease and infectious disease specialist. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Dr. Hassig, thank you for getting me and my sense of humor and my sardonic, sarcastic sense of humor, y'all.
I love satire in the morning, Tommy.
Just trust the experts. That's all I can say when it comes to your health and the family's health and so forth. Thank you, Dr. Hassig. Have a happy new year, okay?
You too, Tommy. Take care.
You too. If you go to WWL.com, you can find the story about Brian Deer and the anti-vaxxers, a cult or a movement, and RFK Jr., and the facts and what happened in Samoa, if you like, if you have an open mind. If not, believe what you want and do whatever you want. I can't change that. 7:31, we'll talk about the new THC law happening on January 1st and how that could affect THC beverages when we come back. Minute and a half late. Time now, WWL First News. All right, it's a holiday season. We talk about friends that we've known in the past. I'm going to bring up a name on WWL. Mark Chiffisi used to work with Buddy DiLiberto a lot. And when I first came to WWL, the big blockbuster trade after Katrina, we're talking about a politician or whatever and about, well, is he up for re-election? And Mark said, they're always running. And that taught me a lesson, because when it comes to vaccines and political stances and so forth, back in the day, there was a difference between campaigning and governing. Back in the day, you campaigned and told people what they wanted to hear. But when it got to governing, when you got in office, you did what was best for the public. Well, now the campaign never ends. So you go, apparently, in some stances, particularly when it comes to Governor Landry and his public health department and vaccines, and this is just my opinion, but you go from the campaign of telling them what they want to hear in governing to doing what's best for everybody to a situation where the campaign never ends. So governing looks like campaigning. So you tell people what they want to hear, whether it's true or not. And as a result, public health can suffer. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Joe Garrity, CEO of Crescent Canada, about new THC laws that are set to go into effect on January 1st. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us, WWL. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I've never smoked marijuana in my life because I don't like to smoke anything. Brisket, but that's different. When it comes to THC, though, I tried a couple of THC beverages. I've not noticed, you know, I know there's a lot of political this or that, the other thing. I don't notice the difference between that or alcohol. There are different effects, but they are both mind-altering substances, and I don't know that one is any worse than the other or any better than the other. Joe Garrity joins us now, CEO of Crescent Canada, to talk about the laws that are going to go into effect on January 1st. Is it Garrity or Jarrity? I just want to make sure I got it right, Joe.
Garrity.
Garrity, okay. Tell me, give me, because we've got a couple of minutes here, give me the context on how this became legal and then what happened. The whole story on this and how you got into the business, if you would, please.
Yeah.
I've tried your product, I will tell you, and I like it.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Long story short, Farm Bill in 2018 legalizes cannabinoids derived from hemp.
Say it again.
All right, sorry. So in 2018, the Farm Bill was passed and signed by then-President Trump, which legalized hemp-derived cannabinoids, which include substances like CBD, CBN, and THC, which is the cannabinoid in marijuana that gets you high in cannabis. So the only exception to that rule was that THC... Delta 9 THC, which is the most common THC product that sort of gives you that high.
Now, hang on a second. Delta 9 is a brand name or some kind of scientific formula or something? What is that?
No. So when you go to Colorado or California and they have legal weed, and you go to a dispensary, you'll find a gummy, let's just say, that says it has 10 milligrams of THC.
Okay.
And what they're talking about specifically there is Delta 9 THC.
So it's a type of THC, Joe?
It's a strength rating or something? When people refer to THC, what they're really referring to is Delta 9 THC. It's just the specific name for the cannabinoid that gets you, that produces the intoxicating high in cannabis.
Okay.
So you can derive THC from marijuana, which you find in mostly dispensaries, or from hemp, which was legalized under the Farm Bill.
Mm-hmm.
The only exception being that it has to be below 0.3% on a dry weight basis, which leads to a considerable amount that you're able to add to products that contain sugar, for the most part.
Wait, say that part again about the sugar?
If you add sugar to pretty much any beverage or gummy, you'll wind up with enough dry weight where you can put in a good bit of the high... The high producing THC.
All about the ratios, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So what that was intended to do when they passed the Farm Bill originally was really to allow for CBD products to exist, which are more kind of medically speaking, less they don't produce a high. They generally will help with inflammation. A lot of people were using them for medical purposes mm-hmm. when this law was passed, and they still are today. But it did create this, you know, some are calling it a loophole, that allowed for THC to find its way into beverages, into gummies, and really into the market as a whole. And because this product was made legal through the Farm Bill, it's allowed to be sold pretty much everywhere. And so Louisiana was very early to the game when it came time to regulate these products and create laws. So they started out with a pretty, early bill that did a good job of starting the conversation of how these products should be regulated and where they should be sold, and really, gave the consumers the opportunity to be introduced to this product category. And now, fast forward a few years, we've had a few different versions of hemp bills passed through the state legislature. And the most recent one takes a very big chunk of products that consumers are currently enjoying off the market. It also precludes gas stations from selling these products and from new bars and restaurants from getting permits.
Real quick, the Crescent 9, you sell a product that says highly potent. That's got 10 milligrams, correct? I got that right?
50. 50 is actually our high potency, yeah.
And then they also have them that have 5 milligrams. And Lou Law says that you can only have 5 milligrams per serving, which is in a can, correct?
Yeah, previously you were allowed to sell cans or bottles that had multiple servings per container. The new law makes it so that you're only allowed to have one serving per 12-ounce can.
So I'm just trying to move us along here. The bottom line is what's going to happen here is for people to get the same amount of THC, they're going to have to drink one hell of a lot more sugar. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for the most part.
And buy more cans.
Yeah, you can also still buy gummies in up to 8-packs, and you can buy beverage products up to 4-packs. So it's just going to require people to consume a lot more to get the same effect that they were getting previously.
All right, hang on a second. I want to ask you about who's behind this and what do you think is behind it and what this means for your business when we come back in a second, okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Joey. Real quick, Joey, the difference between THC and CBD?
THC produces an intoxicating high. CBD is generally used more for like medical purposes.
Thank you, sir. 751, 9 till 8. Quickly to traffic on WWL. 756, quickly back to Joe Garrity, CEO of Crescent Canna. We've already discussed what led to the legalization of THC, the changes that are going to occur on January 1st. Joe, I got to know, you got capital investment in this. You're a businessman. How has this changed your business model, and what do you do from here?
We are fortunate to be distributed now in about 16, 17 states. So Louisiana is where we make home. My office is on Magazine Street. And the reality is just that we won't be investing quite as much in this market as we would have liked otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon at this point to have changing hemp laws. We did expect something to be done. We were actually fortunate to survive this session. When the session began, we were pretty much told we were dead in the water in Louisiana. We had some considerable opposition coming, everything from the Senate president to some of the state's richest and most powerful people.
All right, let me ask you this, Joe. Why the opposition? Tell me what's going on behind the scenes, because people want to know. Because I do, I have tried your product. I like it. I don't want to have to buy more of it. I am stocking up. I'm not, I don't drink a lot. I don't use your product a lot. But when I do, I enjoy it. What practical effect is this going to have on the public, and who's behind it? Why change it?
Well, it's, that a lot of the legislators who voted for these products to become legal claimed they were duped a little bit. They didn't really read what was in the bill originally, and they didn't understand it, and they voted for it anyway. And then when it came time to face the reality of the industry they created and the jobs they created, instead of taking credit, they pointed fingers and said, "Well, I didn't know what I was doing." So you have kind of the religious right, the Louisiana Family Forum, who oppose these things on a fundamental basis. They don't believe in intoxicating products and creating industries around them. You also have the alcohol industry, who in, at least last year was still seeing cannabis as opposition and not something that they could get behind and make money with. And, in the last year, that's changed a lot. Some of the major players in alcohol are now involved in the distribution of cannabis products as well. And that's a good thing for them, because beer and the alcohol industry in general has been suffering. The other major player in the room that's opposed to these products, a bit ironically, is companies like Good Day Farms and the medical marijuana industry, who've created this, you know, regulated, if you'll say that, in my opinion, overregulated and really exclusive club where only they're allowed to sell these products. And there are only a handful of these stores around the state, and there are only two people that are allowed to grow, and those are no longer the universities. Those are, you know, Good Day Farms and one other.
Who owns those farms?
In the state of Louisiana.
Who owns those
farms? Good Day Farms is, I'm not 100% sure what the ownership distribution is, but it's a Boise Bollinger company.
Okay.
And John Davis, I believe, is the CEO over there. Mm-hmm. And they have fought and gotten these licenses and lobbied to get them, and they see us as a, you know, as competition, and a lot of people in business, they
we got 10 seconds left, Joe. Bottom line, this is not about public safety. This is about business and protection of their industry. Accurate?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.